Thank you very much.
Questions?
I've got several questions. One question is, I think it's a minor question and not really important for you, but you said, well, that rigid designators are non-descriptive. It'd not be the case if you have just like a necessary, an actualizing predicate. So you say the actual X, this is a rigid designator, but it is descriptive. So I don't know, you cited some literature on that, so, but I thought this is a different thing. Non-descriptivity and rigidity, and the non-descriptivity goes perhaps with direct reference, which may imply rigidity, but that's a different thing. But this is just a small comment. I've got two questions. The one question is, what was the argument now against the truth of two with non-actual A's which are not B? I mean, it just says for all X, I mean for all X in the world, if there are it's necessarily the case that if they are A, then B, and vice versa. So non-actual entities don't play a role here at all. I mean, the quantifier just works, runs over the entities in the actual world. So I didn't see that there's a counter-argument, but perhaps I didn't understand the argument, so you might correct me on that. And the last question is, what actually is so bad if all other general terms are rigid? I mean, apparently many people say that it's bad, and Kripke says that it's bad, but I didn't quite figure out what's bad in that.
Yeah, concerning your first question, that's true. I think I said that one has to include some de facto rigid descriptions in here, but I just focused on the rigidity of proper names and on simple general terms. So, of course, it is true, rigidity does not mean that there aren't any possibly rigid descriptions. So, of course. According to your second point, the argument from Soames, Soames argues that, of course, sentence 2... Soames says that sentence 2 is true, but he says that this is not the kind of necessity we want. So, according to Soames, it is a problem for Kripke's account that there are non-actual existing objects which are A and not B. So he says, Soames' argument says maybe that is a problem for Kripke's metaphysical position. Of course, if one had to argue against Soames, I think he makes a restriction on the domain of quantification. So one had put the finger to this point in Soames' argument. I'm not quite sure if it is good. There are some people who tried to criticize Soames for this argument, but as I just stated this stated it in the way he does in his Beyond Rigidity. So I didn't want to go into detail here. And the last question was?
What's bad if, in the general terms, referring to something like a sparse property is rigid? So natural kind.
I think there are two main problems for such a proposal. The first is that if every general term trivial is rigid, then the question is why arguing for a definition of rigidity? And the second one is, of course, it implies a metaphysical picture which maybe not everyone wants to accept. For if every general term is a rigidly designating expression, one is committed in saying that there exists an abstract entity which is the designatum of the term.
I mean, if Kripke is right, any name is a rigid designator, so they're not just like the normal number. So you don't have a distinction between rigid and non-rigid names. Okay. So according to this view, possibly there is no distinction between rigid and non-rigid general terms. So what? I mean, just quickly says, well, that names function this way, and one could say, well, general terms function this way. So I do not see really a problem here, or perhaps one might not see a problem. The second point is the question of the existence of universals. Well, if you say that the general terms refer to universals, then these universals have to exist, whether the reference is rigid or non-rigid. So I do not know whether this part of the metaphysical picture and the existence of universals would be problematic.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that spelling out this account in this way would lead to granting the existence of a property or a kind or any entity for just any predicate expression you can think of. So there would be a kind for every expression that you
just restricted to sparse properties. Sorry, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. But I think that's the reason why some people found it problematic.
Just really to continue on the previous question, Putnam, of course, thinks that artifactual kind terms are like natural kind terms, and of course there's been a long debate over whether that position is right or wrong. So I'm a little surprised that some people that you cite there in this debate, like David, simply say that if pencil is a natural kind term, is a rigid designator, then that is a problem. That would presuppose a prior argument against Putnam's arguments that they are really alike. Right?
Yes.
But is David giving that, or is that simply... Given that the debate over Putnam's proposal continues to this day, the last book that I've seen on that was published in 2008 on that. So it's interesting to see that in another pocket of the same debate, that debate is the decision on that debate is simply taken for granted.
I think David's position on that follows from his account of rigid application, but. I'm sorry, I don't have his argument prepared now, so I can't say too much to this problem, whether on Putnam, because the literature either focuses on Putnam or on Kripke, and I've followed over the line on the discussion of Kripke's thesis of rigid designation, and therefore I'm not really familiar with the literature you're citing, and so I would like to.
Can I just one aspect? Soames makes much of the fact that for Kripke, comparative expressions like hotter than are also natural kind terms, and that in itself poses a problem for the essential EVP thesis, as you call it. Do you have a view on that?
Yeah, that's also Selman's objection to this proposal. That Kripke mentions in naming it necessity that possibly some adjectives like hot or even color terms turn out rigid, maybe, and the essentialist predicate use certainly don't allow color terms to be rigid if it is true, since no object has necessarily the color it has in the actual world. Yeah. I think it's a bit problematic. I myself tend to follow Soames in restricting the notion of rigidity for proper names and explain the similarities in semantic behavior through the way the reference for natural kind terms is fixed and their non-descriptionality. David, for example, just says that, well, the account of rigid application is the best we can get, but okay, we have the problem of the modality involved in theoretical identity sentences, and we have the problem that some terms which Kripke explicitly says are rigid are not on this account, but we have to live with that. So I think that basically Soames' criticism of both positions is right in that there simply is seems to be no position which can really satisfy all the three conditions which I stated definition of agility for general terms should fulfill.
about, if I understood you right, one part of your question was, what about relations? I mean, can you say anything about what about relations? I mean, not one place predicates like red, green, but relations between two things. Are they subject to these discussions? Or
Hotter than is one. Yeah. But on the main the discussion focuses on one place predicate expressions, and
okay.
So far I don't know of anyone which highlights that also some relations or two place predicates play a role in that argument.
Explaining to us the current state of play in the debate. So that raises the question, which would be the next further step that you would take? So what is a problem in Soame's position which you think in further work you would like to
clarify, since
you identify yourself with,
yeah.
Since you favor the Soame's position?
Well, I think the main problem is whether Soame's argument against the essential predicate view is right or is correct. And it's I haven't read the paper yet because it is not published, but there I've seen in abstract that there is one responding to Soames and saying that his argument against the essential predicate view is the feasible. So but I personally tend to the solution to restrict rigidity, the application of rigidity to proper names. Because what I favor on Soames' account is that he explains the necessity of the theoretical identity sentences through some, he calls it semantic presuppositions or metaphysical presuppositions. And I think that this way of viewing the matter is gets the point much clearer than trying to make the supposed necessity an implication of the semantic views on general terms or general terms designation.
Do you think there is a chance in clarifying things here by studying the model logic system, which is underlying here? I mean, because you did not say what system is presupposed in this account. So, do you think there's any chance to have
yeah.
any?
Also, Soames does not say what system is presupposed, and unfortunately, also in naming it necessity, Kripke is also not saying what system is presupposed. But there are also discussions which system would be the best representation, and I think that especially when it comes to restrictions on the of the domain of quantification, there certainly could be some. You could clarify the argument by just considering whether it's a constant domain approach or a variable domain approach, something like that. But yes, that would be the next step in clarifying Soames' argument. Yeah.
Thank you.
We still have time, so I'll just ask the question again. Suppose that greenness is a universal, just accepted, and that it's not a natural kind. But you want to say that the word green or is green a predicate or a general term is non-rigid. So it picks out different universals and different words. Why not just simply say, if there is this universal, it picks out the same universals in all possible kinds as...
Yeah, there I would answer with Schwartz's criticism of Laporte that this just means that he says Laporte confuses rigidity with consistency of meaning. So in saying that green designates the color green in every possible world, it's just to say that when I talk of a possible world and say maybe the object could be green, that just means that the word green doesn't change its meaning simply because I'm talking of the object in another possible world.
I mean, the hypothesis was that there are universals. but more possible worlds than suppose they are universals. And so the general term picks out in actual world a certain universals. This green is here, yeah, or there, wherever you want to have it. In another possible world, it also picks out some universal, perhaps, but a different one.
No, I don't think that one is committed in saying that in the actual world the predicate is green picks out or designates a universal.
No, I mean,
therefore,
this was just assumption.
Yeah, that's the assumption of Laporte's account or of the sameness of designation view.
Well, the question is whether the word, the general term, picks out the same thing in all possible worlds or not. So if you assume that the thing it picks out is a universal, then you ask, does it pick out the same universal in all possible worlds? Okay. So if you just go with it and say, well, there are universals and the general terms it picks out universal, then I just ask, well, does it pick out the same universal in all possible worlds? And if you say yes, it's a rigid designator. If you say no, then you don't. But then it's not a rigid designator. Now, you seem to say it doesn't pick out the same universal in all possible worlds.
No, but I think, again, on this account, what would be a non-rigid designator?
I must be you then.
Yeah, that's exactly the criticism of this position, that trivially every general term can be interpreted as rigidly designating and so on, and the question is whether it makes sense highlighting or emphasizing or trying to state the definition for a specific class of general terms, namely natural kind terms, when on the long way every general term is rigid anyway, without and so
that would only be an objection if it is the rigidity that picks out for us which ones are the natural kinds. You might have some other criteria for picking out what the natural kinds are. I mean, the criteria that we use in the philosophy of science, that the figure essentially ignores, and so on and so forth. Right? Only if you leave aside those ways of drawing the distinction can you see that as a decisive objection.
Yeah.
To which you might reply, why should the semantics do the decision on the natural kinds? Why not do the philosophy of science to identify them?
Yeah. Of course.
Any further questions or comments? So if not, we will have a break of about half an hour, so we will go on at 11:30. Thank you very much again.